Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Skinny jeans, they're really big, or small, as it turns out, and people want to get in them. And we had the skinny liver expert, Kristen Kirkpatrick, 2 weeks ago. Her book comes out next week called Skinny Liver, a proven program to prevent and reverse the new silent epidemic, fatty liver disease. What did I learn? I learned that Morgan Spurlock, who made the documentary Supersize Me, he ate nothing but McDonald's for a month. The consequences, his weight and LDL cholesterol zoomed up. He felt lethargic, depressed, and said one of his doctors, his liver turned to pate. Now, that may not be the standard definition of a fatty liver, but it sure is a vivid reminder of what Kristen Kirkpatrick is trying to help us avoid and treat. That is fatty liver disease. What I learned last week, fatty liver, or 2 weeks ago, fatty liver, 30% of the population now, over 80 million people have it, 12 million new people a year in the United States alone, and that there is something that can help with it. So where have I gone wrong so far, Kristen?
Well, I mean, so from the, you're great on everything that you've described so far. I think the key here, what really we wanted to get into is obviously all the things we talked about a few weeks ago with the specifics of it, but also looking at the diet. I think the diet is really important. It's really kind of the pinnacle of why we wanted this book to come out and why we think it's so important as a guide and a resource.
So skinny liver is about how to make, the diet in here is about how to make your liver be not fatty, not at risk for cancer, liver cancer, not at risk for cirrhosis, that is fibrosis, with all the complications that gives, which is horrible. So you wanted to find out how to avoid that. What's the diet? And you said there's more, as I remember what you said 2 weeks ago, there's more than one approach to this diet, so that it's not just losing weight, but it is getting healthier. So talk to us about it.
Right, yeah. So we did two different plans. One was really for weight maintenance. And as we had mentioned 2 weeks ago on your show, Dr. Roizen, I had said that although the majority of people are overweight or obese that have fatty liver disease, it definitely, if you're thin, it's not completely protective. If your diet is still really in the dump, you can still develop this condition. And so we really wanted one for people who felt like, well, I don't really need to lose weight, but I do need to clean up my diet. Whether you have fatty liver disease or quite frankly, even if you don't, this is a very, very healthy diet, and we wanted to have one that was just geared towards people for weight maintenance. And then, of course, the second diet is more geared towards actual losing weight. So even though we tell people in the book we don't want you to count calories and count carbs, as you know, Dr. Roizen, with your own experience with patients, the minute people start looking at quantity, they disregard quality. And so quality is really what is of utmost importance in the diet and getting the right foods. And in this case, it's going to be getting the right foods to lose weight and getting the right foods for our liver as well. So I think the first thing that we really wanted to focus on was looking at this huge amount of glucose and fructose in the American diet. Many people aren't aware of how fructose is actually... Yes, go ahead.
So is that a basis of the diet, is I read labels to make sure I'm not getting fructose or glucose?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess another way to kind of word that would be to say that the diet, especially the weight loss plan, is very low on what we would call like the glycemic load or the glycemic index. So it really is foods that aren't going to have any kind of aggressive reaction to your insulin or your blood glucose. So fructose obviously being a huge offender, probably the worst, but not the only offender. Other offenders are going to be stripped refined grains, anything with glucose, things of that nature. And we didn't give, as I had mentioned 2 weeks ago, we didn't give the same negative connotation to fruit, which do have fructose, a simple sugar, because of the fact that fiber is attached to those things. So that brings up another thing. The diet is also very high in fiber. As many people know, when you have a carbohydrate, fiber is not digestible. And so the more fiber you have, the less carbohydrate you actually digest. We also focus with things like lean sources of protein, which obviously would have incredibly minimal impact on blood sugar and insulin. And I think the key is really looking at the fact that it's lean sources of protein. I mean, you're not really going to find, you're not going to find like red meat. You're definitely not going to find organ meat. Definitely not that. It's really more the lean sources. So looking at lean chicken, a lot of fish with omega-3 fatty acids, which we know are very anti-inflammatory, very protective. Lots and lots of fruits and vegetables, lots and lots of color. I always tell my patients that if you eat a kale salad every day and that's all you have, well, that's great, but that's only one color. So I'm always encouraging my patients to try and aim for at least three colors every day. So throw some carrots in that kale salad, have some radishes.
And white, gray, white, gray, and red don't count. White, gray, and yellow don't. Well, I guess yellow counts.
Right, or unless it's cauliflower or tofu. I always think cauliflower and tofu are okay in the white. But yeah, I guess that's a great way that we look at that. So that's another thing we looked at, and of course the inclusion of healthy fats. I do think.
Now you also talk about in the book coffee and tea and vitamin D. Talk to us about those.
So those are three different foods that we know have had a tremendous, or not foods, one is actually a vitamin, but really have had a lot of studies associated with their impact on liver health, probably coffee more than any of the other ones. And then green tea would probably be second, and looking at vitamin D deficiency. We really looked at every single possible vitamin, nutrient, et cetera. Those were three really big ones that we focused on to look at. If people are D deficient, are they more likely to develop fatty liver disease? And they are. They're more likely to develop some of these inflammatory factors. People that were coffee drinkers, they had more of a protective impact. So even if you already have fatty liver and you're in the process of trying to get rid of it, then having coffee, if you are a coffee drinker and you metabolize caffeine fine, that's a really protective food. We know that coffee probably is the greatest source of antioxidants globally. And so there's a reason for that. And we have tons of studies that really do prove that. Other things that we looked at that we included.
So it's probably, by the way, I should say, we're talking to Kristen Kirkpatrick, who wrote a book that is wonderful, fun to read, and fun to try the recipes, called Skinny Liver, A Proven Program to Prevent and Reverse the New Silent Epidemic, Fatty Liver Disease. The book comes out the 24th of January, so if you're listening to this on the day we release it on the 17th of January, you can still pre-order it at Amazon. Drive her numbers down. See if you can get her numbers on the Amazon ranking to as low as possible on the absolute number, book number, and as high as possible on the stars. So after you get it, review it. You won't be able to get it for about a week, but it's there, and it's a wonderful book. Kristen Kirkpatrick, Skinny Liver. If you put Skinny Liver in the search column on Amazon Smile, I always use Amazon Smile because you can you get a donation to your favorite charity, if you will. Mine is the Cleveland Clinic, but if you get it, you can. They give a little money out of each purchase there, but it comes up Skinny Liver. So go to the website if you want the book and order Skinny Liver. Kristen, now talk to us a little bit about what a typical day's food would be on the diet, on the Skinny Liver diet.
Sure. So I am actually looking at one of my favorite days. And so, for example, breakfast could be anything.
Why is it one of your favorite days?
Oh, well, you know, I think anytime. I don't know if you found this, Dr. Roizen, with your book, but with this one being my first, I found that with some of the meals in a lot of areas, I was very biased to what I eat and what I really like and I know is healthy. So that's probably why it was my favorite day. And it also has oatmeal for breakfast with some almond butter. And that's one of my favorites. So that's like a breakfast example. And we did overnight oats because I can tell you I'm a mom of two very small children. And I don't have 45 minutes to make oatmeal in the morning, but I definitely can kind of make an overnight option and then take it to work or have it really quickly. Just because we don't have time in the morning to eat breakfast.
Now, for those people who've never done anything but quick, instant oatmeal, what is overnight oatmeal?
So overnight oats is really taking the greatest nutritional density form of oats, which are going to be the steel cut, and it's because they have the least processing. And then what we do is in the recipe that I use, I basically took a serving of that, and I put it in an unsweetened almond milk, and this was the night before. This is overnight. And I put it in a mason jar, and exactly how I would have cooked it the next morning. And so I seal the mason jar, I put it in the fridge, and the next morning when I get up, they are essentially cooked. They soak overnight, and the soaking creates them to soften and become more edible. So they're less like little pellets and more like actual oatmeal. And then it's really quick to throw some walnuts right on top, or even if you have some fresh berries in your fridge, throw that on top, and you've got breakfast within just a few minutes. And to the point of what you said about looking at the people that use Instant.
And, of course, you want to have it with either green tea or black coffee, right?
Right. You want your green tea or your black coffee, definitely. So that's just, again, looking at what are going to be healthy options and are going to be really good, but also looking at things that are realistic for people that may be on the go and may think, well, I don't have 45 minutes to make breakfast. Well, you don't need 45 minutes. You just need a few minutes in the night before and then about 5 in the morning. Another example could be just kind of like we have a whole chapter where we talk
Wait. I want to go through the full day. What's the snack?
What's the lunch?
What's the snack? What's the dinner?
Yep.
What's the snack?
Yeah, so the next one for lunch... is tempeh. So it's a tempeh sandwich. And so this is like one of the things that I was going to say in one of our other chapters, we go into some of the, let's say, lesser known foods. So tempeh is one of my favorite ones. It's loaded with probiotics. It's fermented soy. And so that, again, is another big factor with helping strengthen the liver, is looking at getting enough good bugs and getting enough probiotics in the diet and prebiotics. So we have a tempeh sandwich, and it's delicious. It's on 100% whole grain bread. And instead of using like a mayonnaise, like the typical American would, we use an avocado smear. So just taking a little bit of avocado, mashing
it with some
olive oil and some sea salt. And, you know, if you want, you can add some sprouts on top of it. So, again,
you're making me
not
hungry.
Yeah, I know. So not difficult to put together. Actually rather quick, but again, if you want to eat at home or even want to bring something to lunch, I mean, a lot of my people that I see as patients, they work and they make horrible choices at lunch because they didn't bring anything from home. So they go and they get fast food. So we want to avoid that. In this particular one, instead of sprouts, we do recommend spinach on top, just to get some more greens in there. We like that. Dinner with this particular day, and this happens to be a Tuesday, so that's perfect for your radio show. We had a cup of brown rice, and I used a lot of garlic-infused olive oil. People can obviously infuse their olive oil with garlic themselves, but I always say that it's just a nice way to spice up olive oil and really use it in cooking. You can buy some really good quality ones, and of course, I know you've covered this on your show before, Dr. Royson. Finding good quality olive oils and knowing how to do that is key. And then with the brown rice, we do some red kidney beans. Just, again, very healthy, very, very deep-hued legumes we know are very protective. And we put all of that together in a pan and then add 2 cups of kale in that. So it's kale, brown rice, the garlic-infused olive oil, and some of these red kidney beans. So, very...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No,
tell us
okay.
about. Now, I've always said. Now, tell us about how you select. I know how to select extra virgin olive oil. How do you select the garlic infused?
Yeah, so I, this is the one place where I would say I'm like, I'm probably a little bit of a olive oil snob. So what I recommend people do, and these are popping up all over the United States, obviously not just where I'm based in Cleveland, but I do recommend individuals to seek out and find olive oil stores within their community. A lot of times you can really get to know the owners very well, and most of them are locally based. This is what I have found in my research. We have a wonderful one here in Cleveland on the east side and the west side, and the owners are, they will talk to you for hours about how they source the oil, where it comes from, what country, everything. And you do end up paying a little bit more for it, but you do get more quality. So I tend to, not to bash any olive oils at grocery stores, but I tend to stay out of grocery stores for those reasons. I want to know the story behind it, the quality. And it's such a healthy food that I think if we're going to use it, we should get the right ones. So that would be my recommendation. Unless you live in a very small town, most people will have an olive oil store somewhere where they know someone who's an expert and they can talk to them about the sourcing. And that's what I do. That's kind of the best scenario, in my opinion. And if you don't have those types of stores, I do recommend people, if they're in the grocery store, not to get olive oil, obviously, in glass, which is going to go rancid much more quickly, to make sure they're trying to get more high-quality ones and things of that nature. It's a little bit more tricky, I think, in the grocery store if you don't have the education behind it.
We've been talking, and you're going to have to get the book to find out the full set of snacks, dinners, and meals, and the recipes behind them. We've been talking with Kristen Kirkpatrick, the author of Skinny Liver, a proven program to prevent and reverse this silent epidemic. 30% of Americans have it now, fatty liver disease. She's got the way of preventing it and the way of treating it. You can hear the first interview. That was number 820, podcast 820. This is 822 on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. And, of course, our highlight, if you will, for the story of the week this week, was gargling with Listerine can treat gonorrhea. Crazy thing that we're ill-prepared, at least half of the states are ill-prepared for a medical emergency, and low-dose aspirin cuts pancreatic cancer risk by about 40%, like it does 9 other cancers. Talk with your doc to see if you should be on low-dose aspirin too. And while you're talking to your doc about that, talk to him about, does he think you might have fatty liver disease, since 30% of American adults have it? You might have it, and what you should do about it. Skinny Liver by Kristen Kirkpatrick. You can order it now on Amazon. Thanks very much, Kristen. And
thank you.
Thank you for listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio show, Radio MD, and iHeart. Hope you download us every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., and listen, and we appreciate the time you spend with us. And thanks, Kevin, for great engineering. We'll be right back next week with a new show, 823, and new exciting, by the way. People keep still asking me, and I've gotten a couple emails here about last week's show. Scientists say the clock of aging may be reversible. That's right. If this mouse study works, you might live to be 160 with the quality of life of age 45. Tune in again, or you can get that one. That's number 821. We'll be back shortly next week.